Hey everyone, and welcome back to Scorncast, the official podcast of the Pop Scorn movie blog, which you can visit at scornpop.blogspot.com. This is Jasper, your host, and Ghostface Milla is joining me for Scorncast's second annual summer movie preview. We're going to discuss all the probable highlights, low points, and question marks of the upcoming blockbuster film season, including, but not limited to, Batman's Tasty New Ride, A Fairy Tale Princess's Valiant Battle with Laryngitis, and a male stripper whose dream job is to work with wood, which sounds kind of redundant.
My dad said they'd come. Said it my whole life. He said one day we'd find them, or they'd find us. You know what else he said? He said,
"Mirror, mirror, on the wall, who's fairest of them all?"
The Avengers. That's what we call ourselves. Sort of like a team. Earth's Mightiest Heroes type thing.
Yes. I've met them.
So, Ghostface, has it really been a whole year since the last time we did a summer movie preview?
Scorncast style? Yeah, it has. Isn't that crazy?
Yes. As I remember, last year, I have not listened to the summer preview 2011 Scorncast in a while, because it's hard for me to listen to the ones we didn't record with Skype.
Yeah.
But as I recall, we were looking forward to the summer movie season in 2011. There was a lot of stuff opening that we were excited about.
Had a lot of promise.
Yes. And I think overall, it was a pretty decent summer movie season.
Yeah, it was okay. There was a good amount of some stuff that was entertaining.
What is your take on all the trailers that I made you watch for all these summer 2012 movies?
I feel like I say this every summer, but I feel like it's definitely a summer of sequels. There's lots of sequels, some prequels, some remakes, some reboots. For the most part, it looks okay. I was more excited last summer than I am this summer.
I think I'm more excited this summer than
really?
I was last summer, but only because, like I confessed in the last one we did, what a superhero nut I am, and this summer we're getting Avengers, Dark Knight, and Spider-Man. So,
it's true. You know. Yeah, those are all like really good properties.
The nerdiness is starting to really take over. We should admit up front that we both have seen Avengers, and that will be the subject of the next Scorncast, so we're probably not going to say much about Avengers on this Scorncast. But for now, what are some of the things you're noticing about this summer at the movies coming up? Like, I'll throw out the first one. I'm surprised that Dark Shadows is a comedy, and Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter is apparently not.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah. I'm surprised that there's still, like, a found footage movie that seems interesting. Like, in the trailers, have like, Chernobyl Diaries, I feel like looks really interesting.
Is Chernobyl Diaries a found footage movie, or is it just a movie shot with a handheld camera that sort of takes the appearance of a found footage movie? And I mean, of course, the link is there because this, I think, is produced by Oren Peli, who is the guy who did Paranormal Activity, the original Paranormal Activity film.
Yeah, maybe I'm just thinking about it like that, and it's really not found footage, but it seems like it is. And I think that movie actually looked interesting. When I first heard about it, I was like, that sounds really stupid. And then I watched the trailer, and I was like, all right, that looks pretty scary.
You know what else looks scary?
What?
Madea's Witness Protection.
The movie looks ridiculous.
Yeah, I've never seen a Madea movie, actually. Have you?
I saw the one that Madea's in, but it's not like a Madea movie. She was in Diary of a Mad Black Woman.
Okay.
I saw that.
Madea is kind of doing the Ernest thing from like the 90s, right?
Yeah, totally.
Like, I wonder when Madea is going to save Christmas or
get scared. Can I just say, I just bought a $4.99 collection of the three Ernest movies.
Was it on Blu-ray or DVD?
No, it was just regular DVD.
You know, they're available on Blu-ray. You should be ashamed of yourself.
I really should.
Yeah.
But it's true. You're absolutely right. It's just sort of like Madea plus situation equals movie.
Yeah.
And the situations are never that like... I mean, she's on a plane, I think, in the trailer, right?
Yeah, it's one of those teasers for a comedy movie that makes you think that it's going to be, like, an action thriller. But, like, I don't know, those setups are always so transparent to me that whenever I see that at the movies, when I'm watching one of those, like, trailers that's trying to mislead you, it never works. Like, right away, you can pretty much tell this is going to be, like, a comedy. Mm-hmm. But what I wasn't prepared for is, like, it seems like this teaser was put together from B-roll footage and outtakes. Like, it's very strange. The opening of it after they get past all like the cool techno graphics of like, you know, people working in witness protection and zooming in on overhead, like Google Earth shots of yeah. the city of like, guess Washington, D.C. or whatever, is Tyler Perry walking down a hallway in drag. And the line that he says has been burned into my soul, which is, look at me, baby, Madea, witness protection. Y'all ain't ready, honey. Y'all ain't ready. Damn it. And then he like walks into a room and that's the teaser. I mean, you know, then it shows him on a plane with Eugene Levy, who I guess is supposed to be a Frenchman.
When Eugene Levy came on, I was just like, that is, it sort of makes me sad.
Yeah, Eugene Levy wearing a beret and an ascot. Like, yeah,
I don't know. It just seemed like something that was probably on television, like on like an SNL or yeah. like a Mad TV. And for some reason, they just let the camera roll for an hour and a half or something.
Yeah, I think this is going to be put up against Kristen Wiig's Bridesmaids drunk on a plane freak out from last summer. And I think that one's probably going to crush this one. But for people who have been inspired to seek out this teaser now from us talking about it, I would say pay attention to the extra who's sitting behind Madea on the plane, because this is where the like B-roll footage outtake thing comes in, because this guy cannot keep a straight face at all. So judging from this guy's reaction, this movie is going to be the summer's like A-plus comedy hit.
Yeah.
Ugh. All right, so are you excited for Magic Mike?
I mean, you know I am. Like, come on.
We had to talk about it.
Yeah, I mean, like, I'm not excited about it at all for the plot. I feel like the plot looks really straightforward. I'm very surprised that it's a Soderbergh film. Mm. I feel like maybe you and I talked about this separately, that it's sort of like, is he doing for Channing Tatum what he did for Julia Roberts, like a la Aaron Brockovich? Is this like the male stripper version of that? But like, it seems so much different and more like, not necessarily a rom-com, but sort of. I don't know. I'm really not sure about that movie, but I am sure about certain scenes within that movie.
Well, I was going to say, Aaron Brockovich was sort of famous for Julia Roberts in a Wonder Bra. So it's Channing Tatum in a thong, I guess?
Yeah. So are we going to be seeing Channing Tatum winning an Oscar next year?
He's going to beat Ellen Burstyn, just like Julia Roberts did. Because that's going to be an interesting category. Probably one of the new Oscar categories they introduce. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, I don't know what to make of this trailer. I feel it's very strange. Steven Soderbergh's style is so kind of observational. Even this, he did an action movie earlier this year called Haywire, which I don't think was completely successful, but it was interesting to see him try. And this trailer is not sort of what I expect from him in terms of like the sound effects with the cash register dings.
Yeah.
And, you know, the Steven Soderbergh film is the last kind of movie I expect to have a trailer scored by a Rihanna song.
Right.
So I don't know. And like the story, of course, is that based on Channing Tatum's life that he, I guess, got his start, he was a exotic dancer. And the trailer sets up the movie that way. But in the middle of it, you know, there's sort of like a tone shift from all the fun shenanigans on stage at the strip club with the words like, but Mike wants something more. And it's like, ah, really?
That's the thing. It just seems so like cookie cutter. And I feel like Channing Tatum helped not like write it, but sort of craft the story. Like it is based on his life, like you said, but instead of being, you know, an actor or whatever Channing Tatum is, he wants to be a furniture, like a coffee table maker.
Yeah. It's so specific.
It's very specific. And they set it up immediately, like within, you know, like, well, halfway through the trailer at least. And then like they devote the rest of the time to sort of like him trying to do that and him trying to get with this lady. You know, I mean, you think this is the guy who directed Traffic and also like the Ocean's 11, 12 and 13 movies. Like there would be some sort of like heisty kind of mob angle money. I don't know. It just seemed like there would be something else involved. It seems very straightforward.
Yeah. Although I guess if it's just like a fun male stripper movie and it doesn't explore like the seedy side of that business, that's sort of original, I guess, in a way, because it's not what you expect.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Are you sad it's not in 3D? I had to ask you.
You know, it never crossed my mind until now, and yeah, I am, actually.
Yeah, you know what movie I'm excited is in 3D?
What's that?
Step Up, Revolution. What is it?
Revolution, I think.
Oh, okay.
No, Revolutions, right? Or Revolution?
It's Step Up Revelations. It's where you get all the twists and turns. It's all the dancing you expect from a Step Up film, but the twists and turns that you don't.
Yeah. So. Well, what I liked about this trailer, and I actually thought of you when I watched it, is that it's basically about flash mobs.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
And we talked about flash mobs about a year ago when we talked about Friends with Benefits and how funny it was that they had to explain what a flash mob is. And they sort of explain it in this trailer, which leads me to believe, I mean, they mention it at least, which leads me to believe that they will sort of explain it more in this film. And that's like something that I'm looking forward to seeing.
They're reaching out to that grandma audience. That are like, what are these flash mobs?
Yeah. Wait, so you mean you and your friends practice somewhere else, but then you appear in a public space and you all spontaneously break out and dance?
That's probably verbatim dialogue from the film.
I wrote it.
Yeah. Oh, wow. So. Yeah, I think I'm really proud of one of the other lines you wrote for this movie, which is, enough with performance art. It's time for protest art.
Yeah. Yeah, well, they really get stuff done, you know?
Do you want to talk about Ted for a second?
Or like Family Guy, but not.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, I was really disappointed when I saw this trailer because it sounded really interesting. And like, I kind of love slash hate Mark Wahlberg in like a role like this. Like when he's like sort of goofy, but he's mostly playing the straight man kind of, you know?
Huckabees, maybe? Is that what you're thinking?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I know exactly what I'm thinking of. And he's also sort of like a Boston guy, which I think is just more himself, and then he has this like stuffed animal that is basically Peter Griffin, except it's a teddy bear.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's voiced by Seth MacFarlane, because this is his first feature film. And I think of all the things to do as your first film, wouldn't you want to separate yourself from the cartoon that you've had on television for 10 years?
But not necessarily.
I guess not, but still, it seems really lazy.
I mean, I think that Family Guy is one of the situations where it was on, it didn't do very well, they pulled it off the air, and then it became such a big hit on video that they brought it back, so now he's just kind of riding it.
Yeah, I mean, he's created like 6 other shows from it.
And doesn't he have a swing album? So that's what he's doing that's different from everything else, I guess.
I guess, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Mark Wahlberg, to me, doesn't have a very inspiring track record of acting opposite actual people. So it's going to be interesting to see him not only act opposite, like, a special effect, because this teddy bear is computer-generated, but also, I'll even throw this out, Mila Kunis, who is so good at most everything that she does, and so natural in front of a camera, it's kind of like I cringed a little bit, because I'm like, oh, how is this going to turn out? How is this going to turn out?
But I feel like she made, like, Justin Timberlake look better than he maybe is in Friends with Benefits. Like, I feel like she probably has, like, a natural chemistry that would make Mark Wahlberg seem better. But, I mean, to your point, he seemed awkward and the movie seems bad. So, you know, like, in the trailer, I was like, I don't think this is working. But it's possible that it could work in a longer... No, I mean, maybe not. I don't know.
Yeah. When you saw the full Red Band trailer for The Watch, were you at all surprised by the alien invasion angle of it? Because I feel like that's something I completely missed in reading about it.
Yeah, I never got that from it. I mean, like, they set it up immediately in the beginning, and I was like, oh, it's that kind of movie. And so I already sort of had, like, an attack the block kind of mentality in my head.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it seemed sort of like old school meets Attack the Block or something, or I don't know.
Yeah, I saw the teaser for it when I think I saw 21 Jump Street, and it's just the 4 cast members, Jonah Hill, Ben Stiller, Vince Vaughn, Richard Ayoade, and they're driving down the street in a car in a neighborhood, and like a Snoop Dogg song is playing or something like that. But it doesn't give you anything other than like, you know, oh, look at these guys. They're really losery, but they're the neighborhood watch, and it's going to be funny, and nothing about aliens at all. So when I saw the Red Band trailer for it, I was like, oh, aliens. All right. Okay.
Yeah, actually, that's true. I guess I thought it was sort of like that Seth Rogen movie where he's like a mall security guard.
Yeah, I just thought it was going to be about like the loopy shenanigans that take place when you have a bunch of older Arrested Development style men doing a neighborhood watch program.
Yeah, but I mean, I feel like the alien stuff, they kind of need it, especially for like being a summer movie. They definitely need it.
Yeah, and this trailer just seems to me really desperate in its crudity. I don't know, like, the best you can do is have these characters really eloquently equate Martian slime to human ejaculate. I think we're going to be in trouble.
For, like, a long time, they go on.
Yeah, and that's the thing, like, it seems very, like, off the cuff. It seems like they just gave these people a setup and kind of let them run with it.
Yeah.
And, you know, Jonah Hill, Vince Vaughn, and Ben Stiller, I'm not sure that you want those guys doing that kind of thing, because that's what this trailer is. It's just, like, a long stretch of, like, 3 jokes playing out over the course of 2.5 minutes.
Yeah, you sort of have like no idea actually what's going on.
Right, they find a Martian laser and blow up a cow. So.
Yeah, and then they blow up a barn.
Yes, and that's your movie.
That's basically it. Yeah, a couple dick jokes maybe.
Yeah. That's their weapon against the alien invasion, is cracks about penises.
Right.
Yeah. Speaking of cracks about penises, let's talk about the offerings for kids this summer. That's really horrible. We're getting...
That was a great segue.
Thanks. We're getting a new Madagascar movie and an Ice Age movie because, you know, clearly we deserve them as a people.
Yeah, we need both of those. We're also getting Brave. Don't forget Brave.
I'm not forgetting Brave.
That's really exciting, and I'm excited to see that.
We're also getting Diary of a Wimpy Kid 3.
Yeah, and I watched the trailer for that, and they're all old-looking, and it's weird.
They got old really quick.
Yeah, but I respect that they kept the same kids, and I feel like this book is actually about them getting a little bit, like, being in sort of that more awkward period. But I feel like they're slightly older than they should be. But that's okay.
I saw the first one. I did not see the second one. But this trailer amused me for all the wrong reasons, because the trailer is just like, here are all of the characters in the movie. Also, two of them go on a ride at an amusement park.
Yeah. I feel like all of those trailers were kind of like that. Like, the movie is never really like, this movie is about this one specific thing or event or whatever. It's just sort of like, this happens, then that happens, and yeah. This person's there. Like, I mean, I think everyone just knows these characters or something.
I'd rather see this than Ice Age 4, which has Braveheart references and gay jokes.
Nice.
In the trailer.
Yeah, I love that. Well, I think as far as the sequels go, that the G.I. Joe sequel wins for, like, most promising, other than, obviously, like, Dark Knight Rises.
Yes, the biggest movie of the summer, probably, which we haven't even mentioned yet. But yeah. let's talk about G.I. Joe first, because you obviously have some feelings about that one.
I feel like the first one was really, really bad, and it had a lot of potential, and they kicked out the guy who made it, right? Like
Stephen Summers is the guy who did, like, the Mummy movies.
And all those, and, like, Van Helsing, right? and this one brings in The Rock, and I feel like The Rock makes everything better. I mean, he made Journey 2 awesome.
Well, okay. You're being partly facetious there, I detect. But don't forget Bruce Willis, also.
It's true, but I thought he was in the first... Oh, no, that was Dennis Quaid.
Yes, who yeah. I'm assuming is going to be either killed off with all the returning cast in the first 5 minutes of this sequel, or, like, won't even show up at all.
Yeah, I'm guessing won't even show up at all. And also, I think Joseph Gordon-Levitt is not in this one.
He does not play Cobra Commander again, unfortunately, because I thought he was great in the original.
Really?
Yeah, you know, I'm actually a G.I. Joe defender as far as that first movie goes. I thought it was fun to see some of these actors, not Channing Tatum, dress up and play these, you know, kind of crazy characters. Like, Joseph Gordon-Levitt is Cobra Commander. Who would have ever thought that that would happen?
When I heard about it, I was like, what?
Dark Knight Rises?
Dark Knight Rises looks fucking fantastic.
Yeah.
It looks so goddamn epic that I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm probably going to be shaking and crying, like, the whole time. And then after it ends, they'll probably have to carry me out of the theater, or I will demand to see it again. I'll probably pay for it, like, right then and there.
I might have to reconsider all my doubt about Anne Hathaway. I love this purring thing that she's doing, and not literally, but, like, the way she kind of, like, softly purrs these lines at Christian Bale in this trailer. I'm a huge fan of her read of the line, "I'm adaptable," which has become, like, my thing that I say to people now on the street when I walk by them. They don't know what I'm talking about, but it doesn't matter. It's great. It
doesn't matter. It's always apropos.
Yeah.
I feel like it's interesting. She looks like she's more of an ally than an enemy.
Yeah, why is she in the bat prawn or whatever that thing is?
Yeah, that was actually the worst part of the trailer.
Well, here's the thing. Like, the big money shot at the end of that trailer is, I don't know what it's called. People are calling it, like, the proto batwing or whatever, but it looks like something I want to dip in cocktail sauce. Like, that's what the shape of it is. But, like, I don't get why in the middle of that trailer they show it flying through the city. It's sort of like the shot at the end of the trailer of it kind of zooming through the air is undercut by the fact that we already saw it in the middle of the trailer.
Yeah. And I guess it's supposed to be funny because she says, like, I'm not supposed to get in cars with strange men or something like that.
Yeah, he's like, it's not a car.
That's actually exactly how he said it. Yeah. And it's supposed to be, like, this funny joke, but everything has been, like, super doom and gloom, like, really ominous, epic saga shit before that. And so it's kind of silly. And to your point, like, they already showed you that he can fly in that thing.
Yeah.
So it's sort of like, why do I care? But I guess it was the transformation. Either way, I was like, it wasn't necessary. It didn't need that.
Tom Hardy as Bane. I'm in love with his voice.
Super into it. I feel like I can hear him a lot better now, but also it just sounds awesome.
It's very wheezy, and I hesitate to use this word associated with, like, one of the most brutal, beastliest villains in all of DC Comics history, but cute. Like when he tells Batman, "Your punishment must be more severe." Like that's adorable.
And I'm excited for JGL, of course.
Again, yeah, Joseph Gordon-Levitt, who also has a movie this summer called Premium Rush.
I was surprised that I was ambivalent about that movie.
Because
it sounded awesome, and there haven't been any real bike messenger movies. But then when I watched the trailer for it, it looked like one of those movies that Hollywood was like, there haven't been any bike messenger movies. You know? Like, it just seems really silly.
Speaking of sequels coming off of Dark Knight Rises, Men in Black 3.
Yeah, I guess it's not really a prequel, but it takes place in the past.
I think they rewrite history, and then Will Smith has to go back in time and encounters Tommy Lee Jones as a, what is he supposed to be, 33 or something like that? But he's played by Josh Brolin.
Yeah.
But the 60s were a rough time.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. It's supposed to be one of the more expensive movies ever made. The budget, I think I've seen it quoted as $225 million, if you include marketing, over $300 million.
Wow.
And the big, like, notorious thing about this movie is that it was being filmed before the script was actually completed.
Whoa, really?
Yeah. So, that's... I mean, they had some trouble with the second movie, which was, I think, 10 years ago, which is kind of strange to think that it's been that long. When I saw that Men in Black 2 was 2002, I think, I was really surprised because I thought it was like 2006, 2007.
Yeah.
Expendables 2?
Okay, so I never saw the first one, but I feel like I would enjoy it, and then therefore I feel like I would enjoy this.
You think?
I mean, not really, but like in the sense that it seems like it's like a movie Quentin Tarantino would have wanted to make, but also like would never make.
That he would never like cut ties with the kind of artistry that he does in order to make something like that.
Yeah, but it seems like it would be something that like he would tell, like, not Eli Roth, but I don't know, like somebody else, hey, like you should really make this movie, man, it'd be so cool, get all these like old action stars, man, it'd be so cool. And they'd be like, okay, and then make it, and it would be like that.
Like a Robert Rodriguez, maybe?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. The thing that cracks me up the most about the Expendables 2 trailer is when they start listing all the people by their last name who are in it. You know, you have Stallone, Schwarzenegger, Willis, and they get to Hemsworth, and it's after that name appears on screen, I feel like they should follow it with, no, not that one, it's his little brother. Because, you know, it's not Chris Hemsworth, it's Liam Hemsworth, yeah. You know.
Weird that they even give his name.
The romantic piner from The Hunger Games and Miley Cyrus's love interest on and off screen. So
yeah.
It's just funny that he's in this, like, hugely testosterific macho man movie.
Yeah, that is. And I feel like he's not even on the level of those. I mean, even though those guys aren't really huge stars anymore, at least, like, their names and the audience.
Yeah.
That's going to see this movie is really not going to care about him.
Yeah. I also like that in the end of the trailer, it bills the final three cast members as also Van Damme with Willis and Schwarzenegger. My goal, if I ever become an actor, is to be billed as also.
Yeah, that's interesting. I really have no idea what those movies are about, but I just kind of enjoy that they exist.
There are a lot of like aspiring hits that open in July and August, but not a whole lot that I feel completely stable about.
Yeah, I mean, like, there's, Total Recall, the reboot?
Yeah, yeah, which I'm kind of curious about. I think
I'm definitely curious about that. I feel like it looks really good.
And also, I think it opens around the same time of the year that Colin Farrell's Fright Night from last summer opened.
Okay, I was thinking that same thing. I was like, did he just do this?
Yeah, yeah, and I was shocked at how good Fright Night was. That might be one of, the, like, my biggest surprises of last year. So yeah, I can't really begrudge Colin Farrell his Total Recall reboot, remake, or whatever word you want to use. We have Jeremy Renner.
In The Bourne Legacy,
How many franchises is he getting now?
Yeah, right? If you think about Mission Impossible,
Avengers,
right?
Yeah, I'm a Jeremy Renner fan, so I'm not really bummed about this. But I don't know. This movie is kind of enticing to me. It looks like it could be good.
Yeah, it looks like it could be a bit more, like, not thinky, but have a bit more sort of, like, backstory. And obviously, it would have to have a decent amount of character development because it's, like, a newborn.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I'd be interested in seeing sort of like the similar kind of story told with like a new character. But I don't know, there's something about him as an actor. I just like don't love him as like a leading guy.
Two things. I don't think you even realize that you just probably wrote the bulk of the headlines that will appear on reviews, newborn. So just throwing that out there.
Oh yeah, I didn't even think of that.
The other thing about Jeremy Renner, I've loved him in a lot of stuff that he did before he became famous from The Hurt Locker. 12 and Holding is a really great independent film that people should go rent. He was really good in Dahmer, even though I don't think the movie Dahmer as a whole was that great. So I think I'm able to buy him more as a leading man. I know other people who have kind of a problem with him. I've been a fan of his for a couple years in terms of like the stuff that he did before he got big. So basically, I'm just acting like a hipster now, and I'm saying that I liked him before he was famous.
Yeah, you were an early adopter.
Yeah. We're getting a lot of kind of like stupid sounding horror films late in the summer. They're all kind of melding together. We're also getting a very strange Dax Shepard, Kristen Bell road movie called Hit and Run.
I just want to be like, Kristen, why?
Yeah.
Why did she do that movie?
My takeaways from this trailer are Bradley Cooper is in dreadlocks, so that's cool. Tom Arnold is still alive. And they do that, like, curious movie trailer thing where they tint blood black to make it suitable for all audiences. And
is that a thing?
Yeah. They can't show, like, red blood, like, stained on clothes and stuff because it's red blood, and apparently you can tell that it's blood. So they make it look like people are leaking oil from their face.
Yeah, I was going to say, I was like, why did a pen explode in his nose?
Yeah, it's all pens. That's what you can tell the kids that you take to see a movie where they show a trailer for Hit and Run. Right. Also, one of my least favorite trailer tropes is where they use sound effects to cover up the obvious usage of profanity.
Yeah, that's always good.
That happens a lot in that trailer.
Oh, God. It's like horn honking and car peeling out.
Yes. You could play a drinking game just from that trailer. You could get so drunk in 2.5 minutes.
Yeah, exactly. You'll be wasted. Just bar noises alone.
Prometheus, Ridley Scott's tie-in to the Alien series.
Okay, I am super excited about this. I didn't even really care that it was like an Alien prequel. And the way that I read about it, that I think Damon Lindelof, is that his name?
Mm-hmm.
That he was like one of the writers, and maybe a producer too, I don't know. But the way that he talked about it is that like it's not like sort of a direct prequel, but like it takes place before the events of Alien within the same universe, obviously. But it's not like, and the events do influence what happens in Alien, but it's not like these are the same characters and you're getting their earlier motivation and blah, blah. It's sort of like a new thing altogether. And they started talking like about like how Alien is sort of like the house on the hill horror movie trope, and Prometheus is more like the people seek out the horror, and so therefore they sort of like deserve it more. And I thought that's like interesting to see.
Yeah, the most enticing thing for me about this movie, I think either Ridley Scott or Damon Lindelof have gone on the record as saying, like, the last 8 minutes of this film will definitely tie it in to the Alien film that Ridley Scott made, what, like 30 years ago. I'm a fan of the Alien series for better and worse, and I am so excited for this movie. I can't stand it. I think that the mythology that they've set up and this new kind of slant on events in the other movies is just really, really interesting to me. But at the same time, as an Alien fan, I have to admit, I'm going to be a little bit bummed if it's a total cop-out and it doesn't link up in some really like interesting, obvious way. I don't know that I want to see the alien creatures necessarily in this movie, but I do want to see the alien creatures in this movie. So yeah. I'm kind of like going both ways about it. Oh, I'm adaptable.
Yeah. They definitely have to find a way to tie them in a way that won't like necessarily piss people off, but won't also be like, come on, like you just got me to see this movie because you knew that I loved Alien.
Right.
You know, you knew that I loved Aliens. Yeah. But no, I'm super excited about that. And some really great actors in it. I mean, you got Charlize Theron and Noomi Rapace. I think that's how you say her name, from The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo. Mm-hmm. Michael Fassbender is in it. And
Trey from The OC.
Yeah, exactly. No, but there are like, I mean, it's a decent amount of people for sort of like a summer movie like that. So I'm excited for that alone. I feel like it could have a little more like weight to it than just sort of like people running and yelling and stuff.
And the trailer is highly rewatchable. I probably contribute hundreds of hits to that YouTube page because I watch that trailer over and over again, looking for like little clues and things that I missed. This is the fun part of summer movies for me, is obsessing over stuff like this.
It's true, yeah, and I feel like I've done that a little bit with Spider-Man, too. Like, they've had a few trailers come out, but they've shown, like, more and more of sort of, like, the lizard, and I'm kind of into that.
How do you feel about this Spider-Man?
A Okay, so I'm just not gonna lie.
That was the old person-iest way I could have asked. How do you feel about this Spider-Man?
This Spider-Man person. I feel like it's definitely so friggin' soon. Like, it's 10 years and they're rebooting this thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like the last one wasn't even 10 years ago.
It was 2007.
Yeah, the first one was in 2002, right?
Yeah, 2002. Yes.
But that said, I mean, you know, their effects and stuff are better all the time. They sort of know that they'll make like the same amount of money with it, at least, you know. And they can also tell the story a little bit differently. So, I'm kind of excited about that. And, like, the 3D actually looks kind of cool. They're filming in 3D, too, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that, like, makes a really big difference. And you can tell, too, when you see the trailer. It's pretty obvious that they're doing that. And I think it looks good. I'm sort of, like, I don't know. I don't think Tobey Maguire and Kirsten Dunst were awful. But I think, from what I've seen so far, Emma Stone and Andrew Garfield seem more accurate or just, like, a better fit.
Yeah, I'm excited about this movie. But the buzz on it is just kind of has me a little bit worried just because the word on the street is that Sony really hates this movie a lot. But I don't know if that's sort of like one of those fanboy summer movie rumors that's getting around because, you know, there can be only one victor. I mean, the stands between Avengers and Dark Knight Rises are killing me. Right. Like, it's like, you know, we don't have room enough in our summer movie canon for both of these. There can be only one.
I know, which I think is such BS.
It is.
I want to see all these stories and I want to see all of them do really, really well and all have their own time. And yeah. Like, I'm into all of them.
Yeah. And, you know, like we said, we saw the Avengers. We'll talk more about that on the next episode. Right. But that movie exists in a completely different comic universe than The Dark Knight Rises, which we have not seen, but can, you know, say that based on the trailer and based on the other films. Not even talking about, like, that they're from two different comic publishers. I just mean that they do not exist in the same universe. Like, you know, The Dark Knight Rises is very dark and broody and severe, and Avengers couldn't be, like, more fun. It's like an amusement park ride.
Basically.
So,
yeah.
You know. Yeah. I sort of hate that the people on the internet, which I pay more attention to than I should, have sort of like written this off as, oh, he's such a hipster, which is just a word that has completely lost its meaning.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
But yeah, apparently.
You know, it means something bad, but it really means nothing at all.
It means nothing at all. But apparently he is a hipster Spider-Man because he wears fingerless gloves and has a poofy hair. So, you know.
Hopefully, the Amazing Spider-Man will sort of fall somewhere in between Avengers and Dark Knight, because mm-hmm. it has, like, sort of, like, a darker kind of backstory, but I still think it should be, you know, Peter Parker is kind of fun and funny, and, you know, he's sarcastic and quippy, and I see all that stuff in the trailer, so I think hopefully it's on the right track.
Do you want to talk about Snow White and the Huntsman?
Yeah, I'm excited about this movie. I think it looks really badass, and I think Charlize Theron is going to win, like, a lot of, you know, Teen Choice MTV Movie Awards for Best Villain. She looks really committed to it.
Yeah.
I think that's going to be one of the things that really brings this movie home and takes it from more of just being like a weird remake. It's kind of a novelty and makes it, you know, more memorable. Because I don't think Kristen Stewart and, you know, as much as I like him, Chris Hemsworth are really going to make it, you know, that memorable.
I think it's weird that they're promoting this, like, with kind of just Charlize Theron. Because, you know, I think Chris Hemsworth, because of Avengers, because of Thor, is kind of a hot property. And Kristen Stewart, like it or not, has a lot of fans and can probably open this kind of movie.
Yeah, I don't know. It's interesting because, like, the, you know, it's called Snow White and the Huntsman, and those are the two characters, you know, the two actors that you just mentioned. But I feel like the movie is more about Charlize Theron just because of the marketing.
Yeah, it looks.
You said that.
It looks like Evil Queen is what the name of this movie should be.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think this is, like, going to be make it or break it for Kristen Stewart. Outside of the Twilight films, you know, a lot of this movie's success is going to ride on her shoulders. I still don't know why they're not having her say much in the trailers at all.
Yeah.
It's very strange. At least we did in the second trailer they released get to hear her say, like, two lines.
She says, like, a word. She coughs.
What does she want from me? And it's one of those, like, deliveries where if I just breathe out when I say the line, you can't tell what kind of an accent that I'm doing. I don't know. I mean, I'm judging all this from, like, two sound bites from the trailer, but it does right. give me a little bit of pause that they have not, like, had Snow White at the forefront of the marketing for Snow White and the Huntsman.
I don't know. I feel like she's one of those actresses that, like, she's better seen, you know, like, just as far as, like, the marketing goes. Because, like, when you start to hear her talk, especially without context, it just seems ridiculous.
Yeah.
You know, like, man, like you said, you know, I mean, the delivery of that line alone is kind of absurd.
Yes.
Yeah, speaking of absurd, how about That's My Boy?
So how did we forget to talk about this?
I feel like this is that movie Adam Sandler, like, made fun of himself for in, like, Funny People, kind of.
You could say that about, I think, Adam Sandler's last, like, three movies.
but it's almost like, how not self-aware are you? Or are you that self-aware that, like, you know this is, like, your only note, you know, kind of thing that you can do?
I'm just glad he's not in drag playing his own twin sister, but... He's playing, like, a horrible father with a funny accent, so that's reason enough for me to sort of gird my loins.
Speaking of loins...
We already talked about Magic Mike.
I was gonna say, what about Rock of Ages?
Oh, wait, go ahead and explain this loins connection.
No, people are saying Tom Cruise is supposed to be, like, so sexy in this movie, but I just think he looks like this pale, barrel-chested... you know, aging singer wearing, like, too much, eyliner. I don't know.
This is going to be an interesting movie, I think. No matter if it's great or if it's a complete failure, I think that it's going to be an interesting thing to watch unfold in front of your face.
Yeah, I feel like I need to see it either way, if only because I think Catherine Zeta-Jones will be, like, one of the bright moments in it.
Yeah.
And I think that will be it.
It'll be nice to see Catherine Zeta-Jones kind of do, you know, the musical thing again.
She's been doing a lot of Broadway recently, too, so she probably keeps up on that part of her craft more than anything else.
Yeah, and it'll be nice to see all these, like, you know, acclaimed actors bust out hairband songs in the style of, like, a Broadway show.
It's just the trailer makes it seem so silly. Like, it seems like it's, like, a skit within inside 30 Rock.
Yeah.
It just seems really bad and sort of parodied, but, I mean, it is a hit Broadway musical that, you know, was starring Constantine Morales, so there you have it.
And Julianne Hough, our favorite actress from Footloose.
Yeah, from Footloose, that's right. Yeah.
So, yeah. Let's kind of run down everything that we've talked about, I guess more or less anyway. I have some sort of summer movie roundup questions for what stuff that we're looking forward to seeing or looking forward to not seeing, but probably seeing anyway because we do the Scorncast thing. You know how we roll. So, Ghostface, what movie this summer are you most looking forward to?
Dark Knight Rises.
I knew you were going to say that, and I could have said that myself, but I'm going to actually say Prometheus, because I need that movie inside me, though not in the way that it looks like things go inside people in the trailer, because that's not cool.
You need it inside you like an Inception kind of way.
Yes, I want it in my brain right now. I wish I could have seen it already so I could be talking about all the cool parts in it. Okay. So it's, right. It sucks, it's going to be really upsetting. What movie are you most dreading?
Medea's Witness Protection. I mean, it's not like I'm going to see it.
What? You know,
that's sort of... We'll talk.
Okay, we're open to negotiation on that one. Yeah, I mean, I kind of could have said that. I could say That's My Boy, but I'm sort of anticipating those movies to be really bad. Yeah. I kind of approach this question a little bit differently because I'm naming a movie that I think is going to be really bad based on the trailer that could have potentially maybe been good. I'm going to say The Watch.
Okay.
What movie are you most worried about?
Oh, Hit and Run. I'm not even sure why that movie got greenlit. Like, what? It just doesn't make any sense.
It looks very straight to video.
Somebody owed Dax Shepard a favor or something. He saved somebody's life. He gave somebody the Heimlich in some restaurant. Turned out to be an LA producer or somebody. I mean, really, why else would this movie be made?
Because Tom Arnold needs work.
Tom Arnold saved somebody's life in a restaurant.
Yes.
Dax Shepard happened to be at the next table and jumped in on it, also claimed the thanks.
It was Bradley Cooper's life that they saved. I'm going to go out on a limb here and say something controversial. I'm worried about The Amazing Spider-Man just because of the things that have been buzzed about lately with the reputation of it on the part of Sony, not really thinking that it was a good movie. Actually, I think the word that they used was hating it in the story that I read that Sony hates it. So, yeah. What movie are you most curious about?
I'm just going to say Total Recall. I'm kind of into it. Like, the trailer makes it look really good. I feel like this is a movie Colin Farrell sort of excels at. I mean, I'm not, like, super pumped about Jessica Biel and or Kate Beckinsale, but I think they're perfectly fine. And I'm sure there's going to be a woman with three breasts, so everyone can just chill out about that.
There has to be, and there has to be a disguise that Colin Farrell wears that makes him look like a very large, tall woman. It was the best part of Total Recall.
True weeks.
Yes, that has to happen.
I hope it does.
My pick for movie I'm most curious about is actually Premium Rush, just because I have such, I guess, faith in the stuff that Joseph Gordon-Levitt does. He's so interesting, and I can't imagine that as ridiculous as this movie looks, and it does look really ridiculous. It's this action movie about bike messengers. I have to think that there's something there that is maybe not translating in the trailer and that we'll see in the movie. I don't know. It was bumped. It was supposed to open in spring, and now it's opening in August.
Yeah.
So that's not good, but...
And I watched the trailer for this like a year ago, I feel. Like, yeah. It was so long ago. And to your point, I think Joseph Gordon-Levitt is kind of an entertainer, so he doesn't always, like, do a movie that you might think that he would do kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I like that about him. So even if this movie is very straightforward and is, like, sort of a throwaway action movie, like, I bet he will do it well.
Yeah, yeah. I always like what Joseph Gordon-Levitt said in this interview about why he was in G.I. Joe. I think an interviewer was like, why are you in this? You actually, you know, have like indie credibility. You've been in a lot of really acclaimed movies. And I think Joseph Gordon-Levitt's answer was that they showed him the costumes that he would get to wear. And he was like, I want to wear that. So, you know, what movie are you surprised that you're ambivalent about?
Oh, no, Premium Rush.
Oh, yeah.
Because, like, that's the thing. It's like, I knew he was in it, and I was like, oh, that sounds really cool. And then I watched the trailer, and I was kind of like, I don't know about that. Like, I guess I was expecting it to be something else, or, like, more, like, sort of a character study, but is also about the bike messengering world.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't seem, I don't know, I feel weird about it.
Okay, this is my most controversial answer yet. The movie I'm surprised that I'm ambivalent about, I hate doing this, I'm going to say Brave.
Really?
Yeah, just because I think maybe Toy Story 3 was such a tough act to follow, and then it was followed with Cars 2. But the trailers for this thing, I think they're well animated. I'm thrilled that Pixar is doing a movie where there's a female lead character.
Yeah, but, and it's sort of like more fairy tale based too, from compared to their other ones.
Yeah, maybe they're saving like the big money stuff for a trailer that'll get released later. But right now, just what we're being given and what we've seen in the trailers that have been released so far, I'm not really gripped by whatever this story is. But I feel awful saying that.
I totally understand what you're saying. I feel like I felt that way about Ratatouille. I feel like I sort of felt that way about, like, WALL-E I was into, but I wasn't really sure why I was into it before knowing too much, mm-hmm. you know? And I'm always just so pleased with their movies. So
yeah.
I guess I have a little bit more faith in it, like just blind faith, being like, I know it's going to be good. But yeah, you're right. I mean, they haven't shown you anything that's been so, like, holy crap, I need to see that. Mm-hmm. I just feel that way in general about every Pixar movie.
Yeah, and to be fair, Larry the Cable Guy does not voice like a bumpkin pickup truck or whatever.
Oh, no, no, he does. Yeah, Mater is in it. Yeah.
Oh, shit. This is how they're going to reach out to the little boy demographic, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Mater's like, what's a bow and arrow?
Oh, God. What's female independence? Yeah, no, it's not going to be good. What movie do you think will turn out to be a surprise success?
Well, I was going to say Chernobyl Diaries, but I feel like you made me feel bad about that movie.
I shamed you.
I'm just kidding. I mean, I feel like there's a lot of movies that, like, I think are going to do bad, but they will be a success. So to me, they're a surprise success. But like Magic Mike, like, I don't actually think that movie's going to do bad. I just think it's going to be bad,
mm-hmm.
you know, but like, of course it's going to do well. So I would say something like, I don't know, like Chernobyl Diaries, like maybe it'll be like sort of a sleeper hit. Like there's not a lot of kind of like super scary movies coming out this early in the summer.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe it will have like this sort of, I don't know, word of mouth stuff. But otherwise, I mean, I don't know, Abe Lincoln Vampire Hunter. Like I honestly can't think of anything that would be that much of a surprise.
I said Magic Mike, actually. I think that Steven Soderbergh's films don't necessarily do big numbers at the box office when, you know, he doesn't have Julia Roberts in them.
Right.
But I think Channing Tatum is kind of a thing now. He's sort of established from Dear John and The Vow and 21 Jump Street. And he's playing a male stripper. So that kind of guarantees you a pretty big opening weekend, probably. And I guess people like watching Matthew McConaughey maybe take his clothes off as well.
Yeah, so, and like the three or four other guys in that movie.
Yeah, Matt Bomer from White Collar. Yeah.
Joe Manganiello
from True Blood. True Blood,
yeah. Alex Pettifer from Beastly and I Am Number 4.
So... you'll be there, right?
You know I will.
Okay.
That's why I don't think it will be that much of a surprise. Because if anything, I will contribute several hundred dollars to that movie's gross. So.
Okay, let's just agree to agree that Sparkle is going to be the surprise success of summer.
Deal.
Okay, because that actually does stand a chance, you know, being Whitney Houston's last film.
Yeah.
So
but again, that's something that like I sort of don't see as a surprise. Like I guess that just seems like a prediction to me. But I mean, I know what you mean.
Hit and run. The surprise success of summer. Hit and run. Stay tuned. What movie do you think will turn out to be an utter disaster?
Battleship?
Oh, wow. We didn't even talk about Battleship.
I sort of was just waiting until this question because I didn't want to rip into it too hard.
Well, see, we're going to have to meet behind the school. You're going to pummel me for this, but I'm going to say Snow White and the Huntsman.
Really?
Yeah, I really, really, really have issues with how they're hiding Snow White in the trailers for this thing. I just have a bad feeling about the whole thing. I don't know. I probably will be eating my words in about a month from now when we do the Snow White Scorncast, and I'm saying that it's the year's best film, and I'm going all Rex Reed on it or Peter Travers or whatever. But for now, I reserve the right to say I told you so.
That's fine. And when you're wrong, you have to go into the witness protection program with
No!
And that's going to wrap up another episode of Scorncast. As always, you can check out PopScorn at scornpop.blogspot.com, where you can leave us a comment, subscribe to our posts, or follow us on Twitter. And you can also email us at scornpop@gmail.com. And please keep an eye and an ear on PopScorn and Scorncast throughout the summer for reviews of all the movies we discussed on this preview, except for maybe Medea's Witness Protection, because it will probably turn out that Ghostface is not adaptable.